Jump in to our scripture passage today. If you turn your Bibles to the gospel, not the gospel, to the prophet Zechariah in the Old Testament, chapter 3. I think Mike can put it up on the screen too. Zechariah chapter 3, starting with the first verse. It says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing to his right to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?' Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes. As he stood before the angel said to those who were standing before him, 'Take off his filthy clothes.' Then he said to Joshua, 'See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you.' Then he said, 'Put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. 'This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge over my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua? There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. And that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty." Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we come today to look at your word, we just pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us, Lord, that you would open up our understanding of it, that we would understand beyond that which comes from the understanding of men, but have supernatural understanding through your empowerment and enabling. Lord, we ask that this would not be just something which is head knowledge, but it would also be heart and hand knowledge. Lord, that it would come into our heads in such a manner that we would have understanding of it, and that it would come down those 18 inches to our heart, where it would say, where it would affect how we live. So as the heart pumps, it would send the blood to our hands, and it would cause how we work in our lives and everyday actions to be guided by the truths you give us. Lord, that is our prayer. That your truth would be the driving force behind all that we do. And that we would do it for your glory. So now, Lord, we come before you this day, seeking your face, seeking to know you more, seeking to know your will for us, this and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Zechariah is a prophet. He's a prophet in the time approximately 500 years before Jesus. This is at the time when the temple has just been rebuilt after the captivity in Babylon. Now Joshua, many of you might not even have heard of before this particular man by the name of Joshua, unless you've read Zechariah, and then you might have read it and dropped off. He's not somebody who is we think about a lot. But Joshua was the high priest at that time, and it was he who oversaw the actual rebuilding of the temple. Now, specifically, we're told that both Joshua and those others who were with him at that time, that these people were in particular, how do you say that? That you who are men symbolic of things to come. Joshua and the other priests who were caring for the temple, who rebuilt that temple after its destruction, these men, specifically God says, through his prophet Zechariah, that they are symbolic. Now, one of the very symbolic things about Joshua, is that Jesus is a variant of the name of Joshua. And the name means the Lord saves. Joshua, as the high priest, it was his job to enter into the Holy of Holies and intercede on the behalf of the people so that that year's worth of sin might be atoned for. It was called the Day of Atonement. And there would be a goat that was sacrificed, another one who they would lay their hand on the goat as it was sacrificed to pass the sin out of the goat, and they would chase this thing off into the wilderness so that the sin would be gone. That was symbolically. Sin was taken away. And it was the chief priest's job to do that intercession. And we're told that the one is coming, who is the servant of the Lord. This passage, those words are undeniably messianic. It's talking about the coming of the Messiah. The one who's coming is the servant, the branch. There's no confusion about this. These words are talking about Jesus. And that He's going to come, and in one day He will remove all the sin from the land in just one day. And not just for that one year or for that one day, but for all time. All the sin will be removed. 500 years before Jesus' birth, this prophecy is given. And these men are used as symbolic symbols. Symbolic symbols. Okay. These men are symbols. The high priest, Joshua, is symbolic of indeed Jesus. Yeshua, who is indeed the Messiah. The servant who has come, who is the branch. He's going to come, and when He takes away the sin, what happens is all is restored as it's supposed to be. See that in that day, you will invite His neighbor to sit under His vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. The Lord's people will be blessed. Their sin will have been removed. They will receive blessings. The vine and fig tree, those are symbols of a fruitful land, of plenty, of blessing, of hospitality. Now the old King James actually talks that each man will recognize that everyone else is his neighbor. Paraphrase of that. Anybody have an old King James on them? Old King James. Elaine, you got that? You want to turn to Zechariah 3 and read verse 10 for me? Thank you. In that day you shall call every man his neighbor. So we'll look at each other, whether we know each other or not, and say, I'll be calling you neighbor. How did we define our purpose statement? Our vision statement for this church? Why we're here? We said, serving our neighbors with Christ's love. How did we define neighbor? All those whom God puts before us. Those who need help. Those whom meet. Everybody's our neighbor when we look in God's Word and we see this. This is one of those passages that shows us that everybody is our neighbor. The same way as the Samaritan helped the man on the side of the road who had been beaten up. Why did he do it? Because it was his neighbor. He was acted as a neighbor to him. And what are we going to do with our neighbors here? So we're going to invite them to sit under our vine and fig tree. That we're going to share the blessings that we have with them and them with us. That's all Alpha is. We're going to be having Alpha. We're sharing the blessing that we have, that we've received. Jesus died on the cross. And in that one day, in that one hour, in that one moment, He died for all sin for all time. And all sin was forgiven. It is yet for us to receive the gift of that forgiveness. It's imperative that each one of us as an individual, when we come before the judge on the last day, on that day, that we will have made the decision whether we will follow Christ or not, whether we will receive Him as our Lord and Savior or not. Whether these symbols of communion, the bread and the cup, will be things that will be symbolic of our relationship with Jesus, that we have eaten of His bread, His word, His body, that we have drunk His cup, been covered with His blood and washed clean. That sin, our sin, has been washed by His righteousness. And we've been made new. So that all happened on that one day when Jesus went to the cross. And then when He rose again 3 days later, we had the first fruits of the victory. That first fruits, that's for each of us, of life everlasting. And those are our blessings. As children of Jesus, as we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we become children of God. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He marks us as His. But He's told us, He's given us a mission. He's told us to go out into all the world, and that as we're going across the world, we're to be sharing His gospel with everyone who we meet. The good news, the blessings, the vine and the fig leaf, if you would. That's what those are representative of. We're to share a blessing. How do you share a blessing? Is it a blessing to throw a pie in somebody's face? Not usually. Especially not if they're hungry. A pie falls on the floor, it becomes not edible. Or at least not something that you want to eat. But if you set it on the table before them, maybe cut out a piece, put it on a plate, set it nicely. It's well presented. Both ways you've given the person the pie, but the one, they're glad to receive it, and the other one, they probably aren't. When we share our blessings in a neighborly way, people are happy to receive them. Because we're doing it out of love. We're doing it in a loving manner, not a condescending manner. Oh, I am so much better than you. I'm not any better than you. I'm a sinner. It's only God's grace that's between me and damnation for eternity. If it wasn't because somebody had told me about the blessing that I could be with Jesus forever, that I didn't have to be a slave to sin, that I didn't have to be captive to my degenerate desires. If it wasn't that somebody had told me that, I'd still be there. But now I'm free from it. Doesn't mean that at least I'm free from that eternal consequences of it. And that here and day to day, I have the strength, if I lean on God in my time of temptation, to overcome it. Sometimes I don't lean on Him, that I don't overcome. At least not for the today. But ultimately, I have overcome. I have already won. And that's the blessing I have, because somebody else shared that blessing with me. In a loving way, so that I saw it as such and took it for myself. And in that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under the vine and fig tree. That's supposed to be our attitude. In this day, today, we're supposed to be inviting our neighbor to share in our blessings that the Lord has given to you and to me. See, he said to Joshua, I have taken away your sin. I will put rich garments on you. That's what the Lord has for us and what He would have for us to share. As we take communion this morning, may we contemplate the fact that the Lord never forgot about our need to be redeemed from sin, and that He planned for it, and that He took care of it, that He told us what would happen, so that when the time came, we could make the right decision. So the time has come. Have you made the right decision? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, do so. If you have, reconfirm it. Each and every day, live for Christ. As we take communion today, live for Christ. As we take the bread, consider how His body was broken. And as we drink the cup, consider how wonderful it was that He took all our sin and gave us the blessings of strong food to build us up spiritually and physically, to renew us and restore us to that right relationship with Himself, with the Father, with God in heaven, with the Holy Spirit. We ask the elders to come forward.